A protest is planned later today against Amazon's plans to set up shop in New York. People who live in Long Island City, Queens, where Amazon will build part of its second headquarters, are upset about the deal. They are worried that the 4 million square foot facility that'll bring 25,000 jobs will also drive up housing prices, displace low-income residents, and overwhelm mass transit. They're also upset that state and city officials offered Amazon $2 billion in tax incentives without any input from the local community. Joining us this morning is Michael Farron. He's a research fellow at the Mercatus Center and has been watching all of this very closely. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Why would people be so upset and not be celebrating the landing of Amazon HQ2-1 or -2?
Well, just as you said, there's a lot of ancillary things that Amazon will bring along with it, things that Seattle has already seen in terms of increasing rental costs and traffic congestion, among others. But a lot of the frustration over the HQ2 process has actually been over the economic development subsidies, the billions of dollars of subsidies, as you've mentioned, that have been offered to Amazon for the relocation of HQ2.
Somebody did some math yesterday on this and said in New York, just the New York portion of this, New York could be subsidizing each of these new 25,000 jobs up to $60,000 per job. That seems like a lot of money.
That it does, and it's even more money when you realize that it isn't necessary in the first place. Economic development incentives, as the research has shown, don't actually work. That is, they don't actually change the decision of a company where to locate. That decision is made based on factors like having a skilled workforce, which is exactly what Amazon said was the reasoning for its decision to locate in Virginia and in New York. So Virginia and New York probably could have gotten away without offering the subsidies at all.
What does this say to communities like Chicago that were in the running for this? Did we do something wrong? Was our bid not right? Or, as you said, was all of this already baked in early and we just were not even competitive?
So I don't think it was that Chicago wasn't competitive, but I think the cards were already set up for New York and Virginia from the very beginning because of the size of the local tech workforces here. And that's not to say anything bad about Chicago. From an economist's perspective, this is actually a good outcome that Amazon is locating in the places that are best for its business, that will be best for its future growth, and that means that will be best for overall economic growth. It's a bad idea for a business to try to locate in the wrong place. And when economic incentives do work, that is, they convince a business to locate in the wrong place, they actually reduce the economic growth that would otherwise occur.
Aside from the economics of this, the political aspect of it is very interesting as well. With a location outside of Washington, D.C., that would suggest that perhaps Amazon's going to be more front and center on a political scale as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. In addition to the tech talent that's in this area, the other advantage D.C. offers is obviously access to policymakers. No other city offers that kind of advantage. And so it makes sense, given the struggles that Amazon has faced both locally in Seattle and nationally, that it would locate in a place where it can have more of a say in the policy discussions that will influence its future, including the policy discussions that determine whether or not it can expand into new industries like healthcare.
It's interesting because I remember last summer there was the Stop Bezos Act with Jeff Bezos in the name of that bill. I think Bernie Sanders introduced the bill. Yeah, there are some public relations issues and some issues already on the table between Amazon and some policymakers. How do they smooth that over?
You know, I think the best way that Amazon would approach it, and this is just conjecture on my part because I'm not a political scientist, I'm an economist, is that Amazon is going for a normalization strategy, that it's harder to opt for higher regulations or harsher regulations against a company that seems like a hometown icon, who your neighbors are Amazon employees and you meet on executives at local happy hours.
Michael, what is the greatest, what would you say is the greatest threat to Amazon? I know some have been talking about antitrust, that it's too big. Would that be one of the biggest threats, or are there others?
So you kind of hit it, but I would expand a little bit more, and I can't claim credit for this. This is my friend Stephen Jones, another economist, who suggested this, that Amazon is most threatened by government regulation. It's less scared about competition. It's proven over the last 20 or so years that it can outcompete most industries and out-innovate and disrupt new markets wherever it goes. That's the reason why the healthcare industry and others are so concerned about the idea of Amazon entering. So the point is that Amazon wants to ensure that it is probably able to enter those markets and to continue growing, and that's a good thing for customers. But at the same time, defensive political tactics can all too easily turn offensive and turn into regulatory capture, and so that's something we should keep our eye on.
How should we view all of this? I know it's hard to kind of zoom out and take a big picture view of it, but it just seems like you have these residents in Long Island who are upset that they really weren't consulted about any of this, all of these tax breaks, all of this stuff that's happening, especially with a lot of it happening behind closed doors with these NDAs. Should there be more transparency, and how does this hurt in the long run?
So the lack of transparency absolutely hurts the public in the sense that it allows for companies to bid up the size of the subsidies they receive. But we have to remember that politicians are complicit in this, that all it would take is a coalition of politicians to agree not to sign NDA agreements. And there was some attempt to do that at the beginning of the Amazon process, but it fell apart pretty quickly. And at the end of the day, you have to realize that politicians are the real ones that benefit from targeted economic development subsidies, because it allows them to claim credit for the jobs that would otherwise be created even without their involvement.
Do you think that these two areas, the Long Island area and the Virginia area, will see a return on their investment here? Do you think this is going to end up being a good thing for them?
Absolutely not. Their only return on their investment is going to be what would have otherwise occurred anyway. If they had not invested in these development subsidies, then Amazon would very likely have already chosen New York and Virginia anyway. So what is the marginal return on the additional investment above zero? It's probably going to be pretty low.
Michael, good of you to join us this morning. Always good information. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Michael Farron from Mercatus Center, the Mercatus Center, where he is a research fellow there.